We now begin the fourth chapter of Maseches Shavuos, and the topic of the chapter is Shavuos HaEdos, which essentially is an oath where one denies having relevant testimony to help his fellow Jew with a financial claim. Now, the truth is that the Shavuos HaEdos is essentially a subcategory of Shavuos Bitui, the topic we had in the previous parak, of one swears regarding the truth of something. So this is really swearing regarding the truth of having relevant testimony. However, the Shavuos HaEdos has very special rules, which are that when applicable, a person is liable to bring an olah v'yored, that variable sin offering, whether he lied intentionally or unintentionally b'shogeg regarding his Shavuos HaEdos. So just taking a step back, in the beginning of the fifth chapter of Vayikra, we have three separate averas for which the penalty is the olah v'yored, this variable sin offering, where if you do it, you can afford it, you have to bring a female goat or sheep. If you can't afford that, then two birds. And if you can't afford that, then just a simple tenth of an eighth of flour. Now, two of them we discussed already, back in the first and then the third parak. The first parak we talked about the Yediyas HaTumah, introducing Tumah to the Beis HaMikdash or Kachem, for which the penalty is potentially olah v'yored. And then we had, in the third parak, the Shavuos Bitui, if you lie swear falsely. If you do that b'shogeg, the penalty again is olah v'yored. If you do it b'mezid, it's malchus. So here we have the third of the three, and that's Shavuos HaEdos. And Shavuos HaEdos is really pretty exceptional in two ways. First of all, in general, one doesn't have chatas, a sin offering, unless we're talking about the inadvertent violation of a crime for which the penalty is kares if one does it intentionally, okay? Divine excision or premature death. And the exceptions essentially are here in the Shavuos. In other words, there's no kares for one who swears falsely, yet the penalty is going to be a chatas, this variable chatas. And the second thing which makes the Shavuos HaEdos truly exceptional is that in addition, and normally one only brings a chatas when he does an avera b'shogeg, but here, if one is eligible to bring a Shavuos HaEdos, he would bring it even if he lied b'mezid intentionally, knowing full well the consequence of what he was doing, and that he was swearing falsely, he swore anyways, so then he brings a chatas, this variable chatas, even for doing something b'mezid, very unusual, okay? So, the bottom line is that the Shavuos HaEdos is, because it's just sort of a subcategory of Shavuos Bitui, if a person doesn't meet all the criteria required to fulfill the technicalities of something being a Shavuos HaEdos, and there actually are a number of technicalities, so then he's just lapsing back into Shavuos Bitui, you know, world, and therefore the penalty would be, if it did b'mezid, if he lied b'mezid, then it would be Malkus, and if it's b'shogeg, it would be olah v'yored. But if it in fact is Shavuos HaEdos, then it'll be an olah v'yored, whether he lied b'mezid or b'shogeg. Okay, that's the backstory here, the big picture. Now, the Mishnah begins really the same structure, the same way as the previous two Mishnayos we had, the last of the previous parak, which talk about, and really in contrast to those, when something could be considered to be Shavuos HaEdos. Now, the essential first thing to understand here is that the first part of this Mishnah, all the technicalities are really coming from one basic point, which is one is not liable for Shavuos HaEdos unless the testimony that he is suppressing would have ostensibly helped the plaintiff to make his recovery. If for whatever reason the testimony wouldn't have been helpful, meaning, for example, there's only one aide, or for example, there was other aide who could do it instead of him, or as the Mishnah will speak out, this person couldn't testify anyways because they're not eligible for one reason or another reason. So then it's not considered Shavuos HaEdos. So therefore the Mishnah says inside, Shavuos HaEdos noheges ba'anashim velo banashim. The whole discussion of Shavuos HaEdos only applies to men and not women, because women are not valid witnesses when it comes to cases involving monetary claims. That's based on a pasuk. Pasuk in Devarim, Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim. Says the pasuk in Devarim, Yotes pasuk yotzayin. Lifnei ha'kohanim v'ashovtim. The men will stand in front of the kohanim and the judges. So the idea is that the men stand and not the women stand. Therefore, it's learned out that women are not valid for edus when it comes to financial claims. Second of all, says the Mishnah, berachokin v'lo b'krovin. It has to be that there's no family relationship between the potential witness and the plaintiff, or the defendant for that matter, that would make them postulatus. They couldn't testify. Because if, for example, the person who was suppressing his testimony was the brother of either the plaintiff or defendant, so then he couldn't testify anyways. And therefore, even if he lies about his having information, he's not in the Shavuos HaEdus category because he never could have been a aid. Therefore, he's just in really the Shavuos Bitui category. Similarly, it says, B'ksherin lo b'psulin. It only applies to people who are kasher le'edus, people who are allowed to give testimony. They have a kind of a clean record, as opposed to psulim, people who the Torah forbids to give testimony. They're invalidated by the Torah because they have lied in the past. They're thieves. They're generally rishaim, anyone who's liable to makos or misa b'doraisa, called a rasha, and they can't give testimony. That's based on the pasuk, al tashes yadcha im rasha lios eid chamas. So you can't bring someone who's a rasha to be a to be a witness. Further says the Mishnah, ve'eina noheges ela bro'in la'haid. It only applies to someone who is potentially fit, or I should say fit, to testify. Now, in contrast to the previous clause, here this is going to add two kind of categories. The first is a king. The melech, although a king, in the abstract, could his testimony would be accepted, we don't bring a king to judge. That's a Mishnah we said in the second parak of Sanhedrin. The Melech is lo me'iv, lo me'idin, lo so. The reason why is because the pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech, you'll place a king above yourself, which understand that the king has a derais obligation to receive kavod from everyone. And since when a person delivers testimony as an aide, he'll be standing in front of three dayanim who will be sitting, that's considered not mechubad, and therefore the king wouldn't deliver it. The Mishnah also would include exclude a second category of people who were not in the parsha of eligibility for Shuas Ha'edus. That is someone who is pasul midrabanan. If you recall, we had in Sanhedrin and in Rosh Hashanah for that matter, we had certain people who are pasul Ha'edus, such as the Mesachik Bakubia, the gambler, and the Mefriche Yonam. So those people are pasul midrabanan, but still, since they are pasul, they wouldn't be eligible to do Shuas Ha'edus. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, before we read further, I need to just make two new points clear. These are kind of technical things. They're very technical, but they're necessary to understand the Mishnah. The first is that we have to differentiate between the shvua and the denial, the swearing and the actual denying having information, which is a subtlety. I described in the beginning of the Masechet in my introduction that there really are four categories of oaths that are not necessarily administered by a bezdin. They can be, voluntarily undertaken by the person who is outside of a bezdin, and those four are really the core topics of the third, fourth, and fifth parak of Masechet Shavuos. Remember, the first two parakim had to do with Tumah. Then we have three, four, and five discussed. We're in the middle of four, of course. The four categories of Shavuos that a person could enter into without the bezdin: Shavuos Bitui, and Shavuos Shav, that was Perek Gimel, the third Perek, then Shavuos Edus, our Perek, and finally Shavuos HaPikadon, the next Perek. After that, we'll go on to the topic of the kind of Shavuos HaDayanim, the kind of oaths that the Bezdin can force a person to take. So here, Shavuos Edus is someone who is volunteering to take an oath outside of a Bezdin. Fine. Nevertheless, for a person to... We'll see the details in a second, but basically, lahalacha, for a person to be liable for Shavuos Ha'edus, he has to, aside from swearing he doesn't have testimony, to actually, in a bezdin, deny that he has information. Okay, in a bezdin, the person who testifies doesn't necessarily do so under oath, so you could bifurcate the issues. You could say, a person, Reuven, says to his would-be witness, come testify for me. The witness says, I swear I have no information. Anyways, later on, the court case happens, and Reuven summons in this guy, and this guy says, I just don't know. So he swore outside of court. He says, I don't know. He denied inside of court. The two separate issues here, okay, which we'll discuss in a moment to the Mishnah. The second thing you have to get sort of clear before we start this out here is that there are two ways in which a person could be under oath, if you will. He could do it mipi atzmo. He himself could say the words, I swear I don't know. Then he is doing the swearing. And really a subcategory of that is even if someone else says, swear to me that you don't know, and the would-be witness says amen. If a person says amen, the same way you have a mitzvah d'oraisa of being kiddush on Friday night, but if someone says it for you and you say amen, your yotz your chiyuv, because saying amen is as if you said it. Shomea ka'ona, it's as if you said it yourself. So too, if someone says, I'm adjuring you, I'm putting under oath, swear to me, you don't know. If the guy says, amen, so then he, like, essentially, it's as if he said it himself. So that's considered mipi atzmo, by his own mouth. But there's a separate category, which was, let's say, in a bezin, they could say, what you're saying now is under oath, and you're, everything you say, we're holding to you to the, you know, swear to us that you don't know. The person says, I don't know, so then he never said anything about a shvua, but someone else adjured him, someone put him under oath by saying you're swearing to us, so really it's mipi acherim, someone else did the swearing part, he just, you know, did the denying part, and that was called mipi acherim, he spoke about the truth of something under the weight of a shvua, but he never invoked the term shvua himself. Okay, those are the moving parts of the next part of the Mishnah. So we have a machlokas here about if one still needs to deny in the Beis Din if he did the swearing outside of the court for that to be liable for shvuas edus. So we have two opinions here. First, we have the opinion of Reb Meir. The Mishnah says inside, it says, Bifnei Beis Din v'shlo bifnei Beis Din, mipi atzmo. A person is liable for shvuas ha'edus if he does it in front of the Beis Din, in the presence of the Beis Din, by the Beis Din, or not in front of the Beis Din, prior to the Beis Din's convening, whatever it is, if he swears he doesn't have information, mipi atzmo. That he'd be liable if he volunteered himself to make the shvua. He said, I swear, or he said, amen, someone else's shvua. But mipi acherim, if someone else says, what you're saying now was under penalty of oath, swear to us you don't know, and he says, I don't know, that was someone else, that's acherim. So then, ein chayavin, then he won't be liable to olav yored, ad sheyichperu bahen bebezin, unless he does a denial in the bezin. Meaning if the plaintiff, prior to going to bezin, says, swear to me you don't know, and he says, I don't know, then that's mipi acherim, and that won't be make him liable, says Rebbe, according to everybody, really, until you go to the Beis Din. That's Divrei Meir. Now, the Chachamim say, bein mipni atzmo, bein mipi acherim, whether the shvua was invoked by himself, or even if he said amen, or it was invoked by a third party, the Beis Din or someone else, eden chayav, and he still won't be on the hook for the shvua sa'edus, ad sheyich peru behen bebezin, unless he subsequently denies it in the Beis Din itself. And the halacha is like the chacham, meaning, just speaking of the machlokas here, that according to Rabbi Meir, if he doesn't mipi atzmo, he volunteers the oath, then he can be on the hook for an ola v'yored as a shvuos edus, even if he never subsequently denies it in court. Whereas the chacham say it doesn't matter whether you swore by yourself or by somebody else outside of Beis Din, it has to be that with it, in addition to swearing falsely, you have to, whether yourself or somebody else, invoking the oath, you have to formally deny it in the Beis Din. Otherwise, you won't be liable for the ol v'yored of a shvuas ha'edus, but you still might be on the hook for the, you know, potentially for a shvuas ha'bitui if you did it, you know, b'shogeg.